Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to see you and welcome to church here at Evangel. Would you stand with us? It's great to be together to do what we were made to do, and that is to worship God. Can I hear an amen? Psalm 24 says this. It says, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? This King of glory, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory." I want to encourage you this morning just to open wide your hearts to the King of glory to move among us. Amen. Let's give him our full attention this morning.
Your fire for them, yeah.
praise, Almighty God of love. Welcome in this place, O King of glory, O have your glory. We welcome you, we praise. We welcome you, we praise, Almighty
God of love.
We welcome you in this place.
We welcome you with praise.
We welcome you, yeah, yeah, yeah. Almighty
God of love.
Sing that one more time. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise, Almighty
God of love. Be welcome in this place.
We welcome you with praise. We welcome
you with
praise. Almighty God of love. We welcomed in this place. We stand and lift up our head, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. And everyone sings, yes, Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand. We stand and lift up our head. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. And together we sing. And everyone, yes, Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up. It's rising up. All around, it's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Yes, it's rising up. All around, it's the anthem of the Lord. It's rise. Yes, it's rising up. All around, it's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Yes, it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing, yeah. Holy is the Lord. And holy is the Lord God. Is filled with His glory, and holy is the Lord God
Almighty.
The earth is filled with His glory. Sing it out. And holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled. Sing holy and holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. You are the King of glory, God of history, from the ages to every generation. You are holy, holy, the God who was and is to come. Sing holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord. Go ahead, sing it. The earth
is filled with His glory.
Let's join the angels this morning, sing. And holy is the Lord
God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
Holy, holy,
God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
Yes, the earth is filled with
His glory.
For You're the name above every name. For You are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing
the praise.
It's our God. For You're the name above. You are worthy of my praise. My heart
will sing
how great is our God. One more time. You're the name. You're the name. My heart will sing how great is our God.
Amen. Is that your testimony this morning? Is that your testimony? The greatness of our God. Won't you greet one another before you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to Evangel on this beautiful, little cooler Sunday morning this morning. And we're glad that you're here to worship with us, to experience the presence of God together, and to leave here different than we came. For those of you joining us via the live stream, we pray for you to experience God's presence too, and to be changed wherever you may be as God works in your life today. If this may be the first Sunday that you've been at Evangel, we want to welcome you and say that we're glad that you're here. And we want to be able to connect with you and be a part of your life and to help you in any way that we can. And if we can do that, then please let us know by filling out the connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket right in front of you. You can fill it out. You can leave and take it after the service to the information desk. There'll be somebody there to receive that card. You may have some questions that they can answer. And there's a small gift there for you as well. So we just want to encourage you with that. We really do want to support you and help you in any way that we can. Well, I don't have any announcements this morning. I mean, the Day of Miracles exists. There are no announcements today other than to invite our ushers to prepare to receive our morning tithes and offerings. And in a moment, you'll be able to give in the offering plate. But if you want to give a lot electronically, you can send your giving to giving@epcoakville.com and an e-transfer. If you have children this morning that are age 4 to grade 5, they're going to meet over here. Some volunteers are going to be there, and they're going to enjoy their morning this morning. God bless you as you give and continue to worship today.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. As I walk, and as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. Let's all stand together. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain. As I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me, yeah. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. And I sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are with me. Jesus is nothing impossible for you. Oh, when all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty, Lord. Yes, you do. When all I see is the cross, God, you see an empty tomb. Lift it up. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight, so when I fight on my knees with my belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, and oh God, the battle belongs to you.
fortress. You go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against. Come on, let's sing that, declare with faith. An almighty fortress, you go before us, Lord. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of God. Come on, let's sing that with faith. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Thank you, Lord. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs.
One more time.
So when I fight,
I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Though every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. Battle belongs to you. I am surrounded. I am surrounded. Oh yeah. Fear will bow, every worry and anxiety will bow at the name of Jesus. Cause I am surrounded by the angelic hosts of heaven. I am surrounded.
You know, Psalm 34 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces will never be covered with shame. So lift your voice this morning to him. He's a God who delivers you from all your fears, from all your troubles, from your anxieties. Lift your sights to the King of Glory this morning.
You are surrounded. He surrounds you. He surrounds you. You're surrounded. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. And oh God, the shadow belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. I'm surrounded. You surround us. Fear will bow. Worry will bow in your presence. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look toward. Look toward. His wonderful face. And things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing them one more time. Turn your eyes. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look toward His wonderful face. And the things on earth will go strangely in the light of His glory and grace. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Once again. You are worthy of all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And all the saints and angels bow before your throne. And all the angels cast their crowns before the Lamb of God. All the saints and angels sing. And all you are.
Just your voice is lifted up.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all.
For from you.
For from you are all things, and to you are all. For from and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
There's about a 6 or 7 years ago, I got about writing a song called The Promise. And as I was just kind of thinking about that theme, I was reminded by a friend of mine who said that there are so many promises in the Bible. In fact, he said there was over 600 promises in the Bible. And some of those promises are, you know, promises of God's provision, some of his protection, God's wisdom. But he said that but all of those promises can be summed into one promise, and that's the promise of his presence. And so I got about writing this song a few years ago, and so jump in with it. When you're ready, we're going to sing this song, The Promise.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Hear my cry for your new life. Spirit, come and take control. Revive this heart and make me whole.
Should we sing it over again? Breathe on me.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Hear my cry for your new life. Spirit, come and take control. Promise of your presence, promise you are with us, will always be enough, will always be enough. The promise of your goodness, the promise you will lead us, will always be enough, will always be enough. Held high, hearts open wide. We're waiting here for you. We're waiting here, Spirit of.
We say thank you this morning for the promise of your presence. Lord, we say this morning that you are more precious than gold. You mean more to us than anything, Jesus.
They're enough this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, which is the entire psalm. And it reads, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will the enemy, my enemy, have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle in my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me, and I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. Thank you for doing one of your own songs. I know I had to coax it out of you. Yeah. I'm a bit of a fan, If I were to confess, there are days I'm sitting at my desk working, playing my John O. Miller playlist on Spotify while I'm working, so you can do that too if you want. You have heard me talk many times about my love of vintage toys. And specifically, I shared with you my quest to find my 1973 G.I. Joe Adventure Team helicopter. And as you likely remember, I was able to find one and buy one from a vintage store in Hamilton in June of 2019. 4 years ago. 4 years ago. It came in the original box. It was in mint condition, except it was missing the hook off of the end of the sky hook rope. And you can see that in the picture, or not see it because it's not there. Now, I have been keeping my eye out over the past 4 years, hoping to find this elusive hook and complete the helicopter because I want it to be complete. And I was recently in Hamilton, and I thought I'd stop by the store and see if they might have come across a hook, because sometimes when people sell things that are vintage, they'll just bring, it's no longer of value as it is, but all the parts are still sellable, so they'll come and they'll sell them to a store like this one. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, over the past 4 years, there's been some parts, you know, sold there, and there's the hook for my helicopter just waiting for me to come in. I hadn't been there since I bought it 4 years earlier, and since I was last there, they had actually relocated to a bigger and newer store. And so I went in and I told them what I was looking for, and the clerk called for the owner, who was the person that I had actually purchased the helicopter from 4 years previously. And I was shocked with how much he remembered. He looked at me and he said, "You bought the vintage G.I. Joe helicopter." "Yeah, yeah, that was me." And he said, "I gave you a good deal." "Yes, you did. Because the hook was missing." "That's right." And he said, "You wanted to put it in your office on display." I said, "That's true. This is getting a little weird now." "And you said that you had one of these as a kid, but your mom got rid of it." And I was like, wow. I mean, he's either a prophet or he has a really good memory. And I think it was the latter, to be honest. I'm pretty sure. There have been hundreds of customers come through that store. Yet he remembered so many of the unique details of my particular purchase. Now, I wasn't able to get the hook. If you come across one, please let me know. But I left feeling pretty good. A little bit of a bounce in my step that this person remembered me with such detail. Wow, that was amazing. And I have had that experience a couple of times in my life. A few years back, I had the opportunity to reconnect with my kindergarten teacher after many years and having conversations with her and her sharing memories of me. I thought, wow, I wonder why I stood out. Or meeting with a former professor and then remembering me despite having taught hundreds of students over the years. Each time experiencing the same sense of joy that being remembered brings. There's something about being remembered that makes us feel valued, that empowers us. And so today we are continuing our summer sermon series entitled Summer in the Psalms, where we're going to consider the central theme of a psalm each week, and today we're focusing on Psalm 13. It's a psalm of David. We're not sure about what's specifically happening when this psalm was written, whether it was when he was on the run from Saul, who was trying to kill him, or he's running from his son Absalom, who was trying to destroy him and take over his throne, or maybe something completely different than both those things. We really don't know. But regardless of the circumstances, this psalm is an expression of David's sorrow and his doubt, because he feels as though God has forgotten him. God has forgotten him. If being remembered is so empowering, feeling forgotten is downright discouraging, especially when you feel like it's God that's forgotten you. This psalm reflects what one who puts their trust in God experiences often in times of hardship and suffering. And so as we explore this psalm briefly together this morning, we're going to be reminded that God remembers us. God remembers us in times of trouble and helps us renew our trust in him. The first thing I want to talk about today is lament. Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament. Now, lament is defined as a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. A passionate expression of grief or sorrow. Not just an expression of grief and sorrow, but a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. And David is lamenting in this psalm. He is addressing God. God is the focus because he feels as if God is the one who has been unfaithful, while he has been facing an intolerable situation. Actually, he's accusing God of forgetting him. Not just ignoring him, but actually deliberately hiding from him when he needed God's help the most. Now, his struggle, whatever it was that he was going through, coupled with the perception that God had abandoned him and didn't care, resulted in deep sorrow, worry, and desperate loneliness for David. The first couple of verses are an explosion of emotions, anger and desperation, grief, sorrow, fear, they're all in there. David is not in any way concerned with spiritual protocols or theological accuracy. He is just venting his pure emotions. He's just saying what he feels. And four times he asks the question, how long? How long? From David's perspective, God should have intervened by now. God should have rescued him by now. But instead, he felt alone and overwhelmed. The words all day in the Hebrew language mean day and night. There's no reprieve for David. He's suffering, and deep depression, his suffering and his deep depression, they never stop. It affected his sleep. David was expressing his emotions in the form of lament to God. So let me ask you this morning, can any of you relate to how David is feeling in these first two verses? Can you relate at all to what he's saying? I know I can. His words are raw emotion, and most of us have been there at one time or another, and maybe some of you are even there today. Moments when we felt that God has not been faithful to us, as we face an intolerable situation for an extended period of time. Moments when we feel that God has forgotten us or is ignoring our cries for help when we need him most. Moments when we find ourselves drowning in our sorrow, in our worries, in our sense of loneliness and isolation. And like David, sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're desperate. We're grieving deep sorrow. We're afraid and we're disappointed and we're discouraged because from our perspective, from our emotions, God has let us down and he should have intervened by now. The struggles of our days find their way into our nights and sleep is broken and we toss and turn with worry and concern and fear and sorrow and pain. And like David, we cry out to him, how long, God, how much longer will you let this go on before you intervene? In a Jewish lament, expressing raw emotion to God in times of suffering was not only okay, but in fact, it was encouraged. And not only was it encouraged, it was seen as a necessary part of the journey, of the process of finding that path of coming to the place of trust. And that's what we see happening with David in the first couple of verses. Secondly, supplication. If we are to define supplication, it would be defined as begging for something earnestly. Begging for something earnestly. And we often use this word in terms of describing prayer. We talk about the supplication aspect of prayer. And we use this term when we're seeking God to intervene or we're asking God to do something that really matters a lot to us. It really matters a lot. And so we call that supplication. And so the next couple of verses of the psalm demonstrate a shift in focus, shifting from lament to supplication, to this begging or asking God something in prayer. David had reached the conclusion that he wasn't able to fix this on his own, that he didn't have the power and the ability to change his circumstances. And sometimes, you know, we're in a situation in life and sometimes we're there because of some of the choices that we've made or are making or things that we've created. And there are things that we can do in partnership with God to improve our circumstances. But sometimes, like this moment here with David, you're there and you are just powerless. There's nothing you can do to change anything. And so his only hope was divine intervention. His only hope was in God, who, interestingly enough, he just spent two verses questioning the character of. But David knew that he couldn't make it if God didn't intervene. And so David's prayer reflected his emotions and his feelings, and he cried out to God, and he said, "Look at me. Answer me. Tell me. Don't hide from me. But notice me, pay attention to me, see me, God, answer me, turn towards me." Because David knew if God didn't intervene, he was not going to make it. Now, the enemy he referred to here might be a person or a group of people, or it might be a circumstance, something that was threatening to destroy him. And he didn't want this enemy, whoever or whatever it was, to win. He didn't want his circumstances to destroy him. He referenced death. Now, he may be referring to physical death, but we need to understand that death was often symbolically used in Scripture to mean not surviving certain realities, to indicate failure. He didn't want his circumstances, he says, to defeat him. Interesting, the word defeat here literally means to stumble under a load that is too heavy to carry. He says, "God, I don't want what's happening in my life to cause me to stumble under a load so heavy that I can't carry it," because that's what's happening here. He longed for God to lift his burden so his burden would not cause him to stumble and fall. Now, there's a noticeable shift at this point in the passage. As pent-up frustration was released and David began to soften, and you can see it as you're moving through the psalm. And all of a sudden, he references God as my God. It becomes very personal. He's appealing to God on the basis of relationship. And part of relationship with God was experiencing the care and the love and the protection and the faithfulness of God. There's a lot at stake here for David, not the least of which was his relationship with God. And so he was crying out to God to hear him and to help him. Folks, it's important during times of difficulty for our lament, which is a healthy part of our process, to shift to supplication and prayer to God. Prayer has a way of softening us. Prayer has a way of reminding us that our relationship with God is personal. That's what prayer is engaging in that personal relationship with God. That even though our emotions are valid, and they are, our emotions sometimes keep us from seeing what we need to see and experiencing what we need to experience. We can't get stuck in our emotions while ignoring the need to cry out to and connect with God in prayer. And so, like David, prayer comes easiest when we reach the point where we realize that there is nothing left that we can do and we're at the mercy of God, that we won't make it if he doesn't help us. So we pray like David. And in our own prayers, we say, God, don't hide from me. Notice me, God. Pay attention to me. See me. Answer me, God. And perhaps today you may be here or you may be watching online and you feel like you're being crushed under the weight of the burden that you are carrying, that you've been carrying it for a very long time. And if you are, and if that's you this morning, may I remind you today that of our relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship where he has invited all of us who are weary and heavy burdened to cast our cares upon him because he cares about us. May I remind us today to appeal to the promises rooted in our relationship with him, where he has promised to take care of us, where he has promised to love us, to protect us, to be with us always, and to be faithful to us. It takes prayer and supplication to shift from lament and raw emotion to the place where we can appeal and beg for help from God because we have our relationship with him. Prayer takes us through that next step. And the psalm ends with trust. The very first sentence of verse 5 is powerful and critical to rediscovering trust when burdens are seemingly too heavy to bear. David said this. He said, all those things. Here's all my emotions. Here's all my frustration. Here's all my anger. Here are my prayers. I'm begging you, God. I need you. I'm calling on your promises. And then he says, but, I trust in your love. I trust in your love. This is just powerful for me as I read it. Because I read that line and I think, David didn't say, I trust in your power. He didn't say, I trust in your might. He didn't say, God, I trust in your miracle-working ability. He said, I trust in your love. I trust in your love. When hope was fading for David, it was God's love that broke into David's life and circumstances through prayer, giving him the faith to trust for the future because of the love of God. It's important to note that nothing had changed from what we can see in the psalm. His cries of trust were cries in the dark, anticipating and longing for the light. He was anticipating God's intervention. He was anticipating a change in his circumstances. He was expecting God's salvation to come to him. And he said, I sing because he has taken care of me. At this moment, David is reflecting on how God has been faithful to him, how God has taken care of him in the past. And he can sing a song. He can have a song in the night. He can have a song in the midst of the sadness and the brokenness. Because he says, God has taken care of me. We don't know what he's referring to exactly. We do know some times in his life when God took care of him. Was it the time that he killed the lion and the bear when he was protecting his sheep with God's help? Was it bringing Goliath down with a slingshot and a stone when he stood before the Philistines? Was it the promise that he would someday be king when he was anointed by Samuel as just a young boy? Was it God's protection from Saul and then from Absalom, his son? Was it the victories over his enemies on countless occasions? Was it all of these things? A lifetime? We don't know exactly. But what we do know is that his trust in God in the present and for the future was tied to God's faithfulness to him in the past as he reflected on that. Through prayer, he was able to navigate through his emotions and his disappointments with God, to reflect on God's past goodness to him, and find a way to trust God with his present and with his future. Now, as I mentioned earlier, lament in Jewish spirituality was encouraged and important because it leads to trust. Lament. Passionately expressing our grief and sorrow to God is a practice that I believe that we need to embrace as we learn to trust in him. But it's important for us to understand not only what lament is, but what lament is not. And so it's important for us to understand that lament is not toxic negativity. It's not constantly complaining about stuff. It's not griping all the time when we're not happy about certain things. Lament is not expressing negative emotions that cause us to bring ourselves down and bring others down, and then we end up alienated from others who just can't be around the negativity anymore. They just don't want to be around it. Toxic negativity erodes our trust in God and potentially erodes other people's trust in God. Lament is not toxic negativity of complaining and griping all the time. It's not that. Lament is not toxic positivity either, where one feels the pressure to only display positive emotions, suppressing the negative emotions and feelings and reactions. Toxic positivity leads to trauma and isolation and unhealthy coping because you can't let your true feelings be known. And I've seen a lot of this, where everyone has to be, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored all the time. Yeah, I know that, but how are you? Thinking that somehow expressing the truth of where we are and how we honestly feel is somehow disloyal to God. Somehow is disrespectful to God. That somehow when we say how we really feel and what we're going through and how painful life is, that it reflects negatively on him. I've even heard some people say that speaking certain negative things might bring them into reality, into being, so they can't say them. Folks, toxic positivity is not authentic. It's pretending that things are okay when they're not okay. Yes, God is okay, but you may not be. And it's okay to not be okay. Okay? Not only is God okay with lament, not only is God okay with passionately expressing our grief and our sorrow to him, but God makes room for it because it's a part of the journey that leads us to trusting him. Pure lament is neither toxic negativity, walking around with a cloud over our head and depressing everyone around us, nor is it toxic positivity, pretending to be okay so you won't offend God and hurt his feelings and come off as somehow being unspiritual. It's simply being honest before God. Lament is being honest before God. It's exercising our privilege of being in a relationship with a God who loves us unconditionally, where it is safe, a relationship that is safe to say what we feel and express the pain that we're going through. Because God wants us to come to him in authenticity. God's not a big fan of facades or fakeness or disposable eyelashes. No, I'm just kidding. They're fake. He wants us to come to him in authenticity. So learn to embrace and practice lament. Honest in a safe environment before God, and let lament build your trust like it did for David. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. And as they come, some of you here today, or maybe some of you are joining us on the live stream, you might be going through a really difficult time right now. And maybe whatever it is you're going through has been going on for quite some time. And perhaps you feel like you've reached the end. You can't keep going. That God somehow has forgotten you. That God has abandoned you. But I want to encourage you today. Don't give up. Don't give up. God's not forgotten you. God's not abandoned you. And I want to encourage you to passionately express your grief and sorrow to Him. I want to encourage you to engage in that supplication and prayer of begging God. And let your journey of lament and prayer take you to that place where you are reminded of His faithfulness in your life up till now as a springboard for trusting Him in the future. Where you're reminded that you can trust in Him, that He is faithful, that He loves you unconditionally. As John O. and the team lead us this morning, can we use this moment as a time of lament? You don't have to say it really loud. But as a moment of lament and prayer and renewed trust. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion together. And it's interesting as I reflect on focusing on the night when Jesus was betrayed and we see Him in the garden. We see Him engaged in lament. He's praying alone. And He says, God, if it's possible, can you take this? Do I have to go through this? Please take it. But that's not where His prayer ends. His prayer continues, but not my will. Yours be done. My trust is in You. And that's what He's reminding us of this morning. Our trust is in Him. Would you stand? As the team leads us, would you really engage these moments as moments where you can really pour out your heart to Him and He can remind you of His presence here with you this morning.
Within my heart, I know You've won. I know You overcome. Even in the dark, when I'm undone, I still believe it. I live by faith. By sight, sometimes miracles take time. While I wait, I will worship. I will worship Your name. While I wait, I will trust You. Lord, I trust You all the same. When I fall apart, when I fall apart, You are. Sometimes miracles take. Faithful every day. Your promises remain. You're faithful every day. Your promises remain. Promises remain, Lord, you're faithful every day. Your promises remain while I wait. While I wait, I will worship, Lord, I worship your name. While I wait, I will trust you.
I'll trust you
all the same. One more time. While I wait, I will worship, Lord, I worship your name. While I wait,
I will trust you.
Lord, I trust all the same.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Apostle Paul writes, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And we eat together. We give thanks for your broken body, Jesus. Give thanks. We give thanks. In verses 25 and 26, he writes, "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Let's drink together. Lord Jesus, this morning, we pause in your presence to offer up our thanks, our gratitude, our love to you for loving us so deeply that you were willing to give your life on the cross so that we might have this spiritual life. We thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for what you're doing for us each and every day. We thank you, God, that you have made it possible for us to walk personally with you in this life. And Lord, we admit this morning that sometimes, like David, we get so overtaken by the struggles and the hardship and the pain that we lose sight of you. We lose touch with you, and we feel like you have forgotten us, that we're alone. Where we sometimes even question the promises that you made. But I thank you that we can be reminded that you never forget us. You always remember us. You never leave us. You're always there. You're working when we don't see it. And you are faithful and you are true. And so this morning we offer up our thanks and gratitude to you for all the times that you have been faithful in the past. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that our recognition of your faithfulness would help us today, tomorrow, the weeks and months to come. Whatever it may be that we're going through or facing, how discouraging it might be, that you are faithful and you will continue to be faithful as we put our trust in you. And God, for those who are here today who are carrying the burden and the pain of difficult circumstances and decisions and realities, would you bring emotional healing, spiritual healing, physical healing? Would you bring relational healing? Lord, would you do what only you can do? Help us, we pray. Strengthen us, we pray. And may you be glorified through our lives as we serve you authentically in relationship. And we pray these things and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.